Welcome to another edition of the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson, the writer of Guelph Politico. Welcome to another election edition of the Guelph Politicast. Because if you didn't already know, the provincial election is on, and this current season of the podcast, we will be interviewing the various candidates running in the riding of Guelph, the various candidates all vying to be Guelph's representative at Queen's Park when the new government convenes after the June 12th election. And in this edition of the Guelph Politicast, I will be interviewing Liz Sandals, who is the current MPP of Guelph and also the current Minister of Education. She's a Liberal candidate, once again representing Liberals in Guelph. This is her fourth election, and she's going for her fourth term in office. And for a bit of background, Liz Sandals was a professor at the University of Guelph. She taught computer science there. She was also a school board trustee and later the Ontario Public School Boards Association president. She was first elected in 2003 when the McGuinty Liberals were swept to office, and she has stood for re-election ever since in the 2007, 2011, and now in the 2014 election. As I said, she's also the current Minister of Education, a position she rose to when Kathleen Wynne took over from Dalton McGuinty, and she has been serving in that cabinet position for over a year now. So, obviously, there's a lot to talk about with Ms. Sandals. Obviously, first and foremost, is the tremendous gas plant scandal. We also talked about her time as the Minister of Education and the current relationship with teachers, which was kind of a to-do right before Kathleen Wynne was elevated to Premier in 2013. And as well, we talked about the Ontario Pension Plan, which was a big part of the defeated Ontario budget. Transit came up in conversation, of course. And we will also hear what she thinks is the issue that isn't getting as much discussion as it should in this election. So without further ado, here is Liz Sandals. I caught up with her at her campaign office here in Guelph. Liz Sandals, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's good to have a chance to chat.
Great. I guess right off the top, you having been worked with both former Premier Dalton McGuinty and current Premier Kathleen Wynne, you've had a chance to gauge and compare and contrast. So for maybe people who don't have that working relationship, what do you think is the difference between the two of them in terms of their styles and their priorities and things like that?
Well, I guess, in fact, I've known Kathleen for a very long time because we actually knew each other and had worked together before we were even MPPs. I was the president of the Ontario Public School Boards and a trustee here in Guelph. She was a trustee in Toronto. So we had actually worked together during the Mike Harris years, when education was in such an uproar, and had actually run for the same reason, which was enough with the Mike Harris style of government. We need to have a more sensible style of government. So, and I was actually her parliamentary assistant the whole time that the Premier, now Premier, was Minister of Education. Mm-hmm. So we've always had a very close working relationship. I mean, it's difficult for me to judge because I wasn't in cabinet during Premier McGuinty's time. Mm-hmm. But certainly Kathleen's style is a very collaborative style. And, you know, decisions really are looked at by cabinet, by caucus, depending on the issue. So I think there's a sense within the cabinet and the caucus of being very much involved in the decision making.
About your portfolio, you became Minister of Education at a time where the relations between the government and teachers perhaps not as great as they could be. What's your take on that relationship as it stands today?
Well, we've worked really hard to improve the relationship. So one of the first things that we did was work with each of the unions and actually negotiated some new memorandums of understanding, some fine-tuning that made things work a little bit more smoothly in terms of school boards and teachers' relationship. We worked very collaboratively on what's known as Bill 122, which is new collective bargaining legislation for school boards. And that really was a very close collaboration, because before we tabled the legislation, we did multiple rounds of consultations with both the unions and the boards. Then once we tabled the legislation, and their lawyers all had a look at it, because lawyers have a look at legislation, then we did another round of amendments at committee. But again, that was based very much on consultations with the unions and the boards, so that on the at the end, when we passed the new School Boards Collective Bargaining Act, all of the teachers' unions and all of the school board associations supported the legislation. And I think that gives us a much better legal framework to work together on negotiations going forward. Doesn't mean it's easy, because money doesn't fall from heaven, and we're still struggling, obviously, with the provincial revenue. But it gives us a legal framework which is much more... which much more reflects the reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of money not falling from heaven and provincial revenue, there's a lot of concern out there amongst voters in regards to the budget that was announced before the election, and the increase to the debt and the increase to the deficit. How do you explain to voters why, in a time where 10% of our budget goes down to paying down interest on the debt, do we want to spend more and increase the debt?
Well, and it's interesting, because there's a very, I think, stark contrast in the approach that the Conservatives would take and the approach that we would take. The Conservatives are being quite open that in order to get the budget balanced immediately, that they would lay off 100,000 public sector workers, which is, I think somebody did the calculation, and it's like six times as many as Mike Harris ever laid off. Mm-hmm. Well, we know what Mike Harris looks like. Think six times as bad. And so that's one approach, is that the only thing that matters is having a balanced budget. We think that it's absolutely essential that we do manage, and that we are working towards the target of getting the budget balanced. But we think, when you talk to people, that they also want us to carry on with the responsibility of government. And the responsibility of the provincial government is to deliver health care, it's to deliver education, and it's to deliver that provincial infrastructure that, if the province doesn't do it, roads, bridges, transit, schools, hospitals, all those things, that if the province doesn't do it, it doesn't get done, because it's public sector. So if we don't do it, then it just gets broken, or it isn't built up to match the growth in communities. And when we talk to people, they say, yeah, we want that approach of maintaining service and fiscal responsibility. We don't want the slash and burn approach that says just lay everybody in the public sector off.
Well, certainly Mr. Hudak has a lot of fuzzy math to answer for, and he hasn't shown his work on, but people always say they want services exactly where they are, or perhaps better, at the same time keeping their taxes low. So how do you balance that?
Well, and in some cases it's a case of saying to people, look, you really do need the revenues. And I mean, we've made some move to enhance provincial revenues in the budget that we tabled. We're asking the top 1% of Ontario earners, individuals, to pay a higher personal income tax. We're asking big corporations, who currently on their first $10 million of earnings pay the small business tax rate, we're saying, no, if you're a large corporation, you pay the corporate tax rate on all your earnings. So we actually are saying, you can't have everything, and never ever see fees or taxes go up. That the reality is that services do cost money.
Well, this is probably an uncomfortable subject for you, but in terms of what happened with the gas plants and that cancellation and the RINMA rule and the legal issues of what happened to those emails, a lot of people are looking at your party and saying, I like spending more money on schools, I like spending more money on transit, but when it comes to the Liberal Party of Ontario and what's happened previously in the last couple of years, how can I still trust you and how can I punch my ballot for you this time?
Yeah, and I think the key word in the question was actually what happened previously. So, for example, when we talk about emails that were apparently deleted, it had absolutely nothing to do with Premier Wynne. And the police under questioning at the Legislative Justice Committee were quite clear on this, mm-hmm. that they're investigating the previous staff in the Premier's office. It has nothing to do with Premier Wynne. And I think it's important for people to understand that the physical office of where she was as the interim leader and, you know, the premier in waiting, as it were, and the premier's office were actually in two physically separate buildings. It wasn't like the outgoing and incoming premier were sharing an office. They were physically in different buildings. Mm-hmm. So there has been no suggestion that Premier Wynne had anything to do with deleting anything. Having said that, there were absolutely some mistakes made in citing those two particular gas plants. There were 21 gas plants being built. 19 of those probably nobody has ever heard about because they went ahead quietly and successfully. Two of them got plunked in the middle of cities, and, you know, everybody, all three parties, said we would move them. Mm-hmm. We happened to get elected, and we kept the promise.
to just maybe play devil's advocate, when you say previous government, mm-hmm. and, you know, the previous premier, a lot of you were part of that government, too.
And you know something? If you look at my portfolio, education, there were some tremendous strides made in education during Premier Rigenti's time as premier. It was under his leadership that we introduced full-day kindergarten, which is making a huge difference in terms of both the developmental readiness of little kids to learn, but also helping parents who may be saving as much as $6,500 per child on childcare costs. Mm-hmm. Moving to what we call specialist high skills majors and student success programs at the secondary level has seen an increase in the high school graduation rate in Ontario from 68% to 83%. That's 15 percentage points increase in the high school graduation rate. That's huge. So there were some great things that got done under Premier McGuinty's government.
Well, that's an interesting point, too, because I think while education has certainly gone up and improved, and, you know, we have more people graduating high school, college, university, grad programs, the next phase is getting work, and there's still tremendous difficulties for those young people who are graduating at better levels than ever, getting a job once they
graduate.
Yeah,
and, I mean, there's a couple things that have happened. One is that because of the recession, people are graduating later, that people are retiring later, because those people who did not have pension plans and who were facing retirement, their life savings were often wiped out during the recession. So those people just simply aren't stopping working. They're still working into their 70s because they can't afford to retire. The other thing we saw was a tremendous number of people who had maybe been working in the same factory for 30 or 40 years, losing their job. Those people coming into the workforce have often taken some of the entry-level jobs that young people would traditionally have taken. So a couple of things that we're doing to address that is we actually do have a youth employment strategy, and we are that is particularly targeted at helping youth get the first job so that they too have experience on their CV. So that's one of the things that we're doing that the other parties have said, oh no, we wouldn't do that. The other thing is setting up an Ontario pension plan that's similar in structure to the CPP, the Canada Pension Plan, because we're looking down the road and saying, you know, most people in the private sector don't have a pension plan anymore. We need to expand what people are putting away. And the best format to do is to, because Harper's government has been quite vocal in saying they will not expand the Canada Pension Plan, setting up our own Ontario pension plan modeled on CPP so that we'll have more people who actually can retire and not be living in poverty. So these are things that are quite structural in the economy. And I think we're the only people that are actually willing to talk about these as structural issues in the economy as opposed to some quick fix. Well, we'll just lay off 100,000 people.
Can you talk about the pension plan? Because that was, I think that was one of those things that got drowned out in the election right after the budget. Because a lot of people have just heard, like, it's $100 a month, an extra tax off my paycheck to go for into this.
And it works exactly the same as CPP. Okay. So first of all, if you're already retired, you don't pay premiums, just like you don't pay CPP premiums anymore. If you're already contributing to a pension plan, either public sector or private, you don't contribute. So this would be for people who are working age and who don't contribute to a private or public pension plan. And they would contribute, and the employer would contribute. The taxpayer would not contribute. Just like you don't, your taxes don't contribute to CPP, your taxes will not contribute to OPP. It's a deduction on the paycheck, just like CPP.
Well, you have to consider the changing the anagram, because OPP also means something else.
I think there's actually an Ontario Retirement Pension Plan, so okay. it's the ORPP.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the OPP.
Right. Well, you talked a bit about the educational accomplishments, but as people go to the polls and they're thinking about 12 years or 11 or 12 years of the Liberals in power, what's the one thing you want them to think about as they're casting their vote in terms of the government's accomplishments and how that might carry on into another Liberal term?
Well, I think if you look at healthcare, if you look at education, if you look at the environment, because we're the people that shut down all the coal-fired plants, so the air quality in Ontario has gone up. If you look at all these different initiatives, if you look at our investment in infrastructure. So for example, just in the school board sector alone, we've invested $11 billion in new and renovated schools over the last 10 years, and we'll do that over the next 10 years. I almost laughed out loud when I heard Andrea Horvath from the NDP had promised, I don't know, I think it was $60 million, and I thought, $60 million versus $11 billion. Wow. This sort of gets the contrast clear as to who has a record of investing in all those public services and who has a platform that says, and yes, we will continue to invest. And I think that's what people need to look at, because it's a very stark contrast to the other two.
How about an issue that you think is important that hasn't got a lot of discussion in this election yet? Maybe it's something you have an idea about, maybe it's something you're hearing from constituents about.
Well, one of the big issues here in Guelph that probably hasn't got as much play because it's a local issue is that we're the people that actually has a plan to get two-way all-day GO train service to Guelph. We're also the people, I would note, when Premier Wynne was Minister of Transportation, and I was her parliamentary assistant at transportation, that we actually got the GO train commuter service restarted. But we do have a 10-year plan. First of all, to increase the commuter trains in the morning and the afternoon. But more importantly, we're in the process of purchasing the tracks from CN. Mm-hmm. They still own the tracks, have them leased out to an American freight company right now. So we need to get control of the tracks. Then we can put that big investment into double tracking. Then we can get good all-day two-way service. That's a major investment. It's in the budget right now. If we get to retable our budget, it will get done. If the other two are elected, not in their plans, at least not in their fiscal plans, mm-hmm. they all say, oh, we'd do that too. But truth of the matter is, it isn't in their calculations. So we're the people that would get that done. And that seems to make a big difference to people in Guelph.
Absolutely. And perhaps to wrap up, this is your fourth election. If you win, it'll be your fourth term. And, you know, since a lot of, you know, you first went to government with a lot of your colleagues in 2003, a lot of them have taken their leave. So what is it about government work and being a parliamentarian that keeps you coming back, and what makes you want to keep running for re-election?
Oh, I think it's the ability to get things done for the community. So, like one example is if you drive along Waterloo Avenue right now, there's a new headquarters under construction for the community mental health. That's something I've been working on for like 8 years, trying to sort out all the details of how that's going to happen. So there are some of those projects that have been really long-term projects in the community to solve issues here in Guelph, and then the ability to solve issues at the provincial level. So for example, I mentioned the collective bargaining legislation, but as minister, I've also been able to table legislation and make changes. We're totally overhauling the way teacher education works, which is something I've been talking about, you know, before I was even an MPP. So the ability to make some of those changes is what keeps me going.
Well, I appreciate your time today. I know you're very busy, so we'll let you go here. Thank you, Liz
Thank
Sandals.
You.
And that was Liz Sandals, the current MPP for Guelph, the Liberal candidate in the 2014 provincial election, and also the current Minister of Education. And that'll bring us to an end of this edition of the Guelph Politicast. Once again, the theme music for the Guelph Politicast is by Go280 and the Ooey Shank Band. And once again, I want you to scroll down and have a look at the attached video in this blog post. It's Liz Sandals' answer to the question, why does she want to represent the people of Guelph at Queen's Park? And of course, we'll be doing these little video segments with all the candidates as I complete interviews with them. And speaking of all the candidates, don't forget to vote on June the 12th, which is the date of the provincial election. You can get all the details about how to vote, where to vote, and when advanced polls are, as well as all the candidates in the Guelph area or wherever area you are. Go to Elections Ontario's website at wemakevotingeasy.ca. And with that, I will bid you adieu. Thank you for listening, and please come back for another edition of the Guelph Politicast as we interview all the candidates vying to represent Guelph at Queen's Park in the 2014 election. See you next time.